Okay, brilliant. Well done. Very good. You've done yourselves proud. That's it. Hopefully that's whet your appetite for the coffee time and you can say, I was so interested by that. Let's keep talking then. So as Rebecca and Jill alluded to, we thought we finished our previous series last week. And when we met on Wednesday, I shared something that's been bubbling around in my head for a little while. And the team really kindly gave me permission to share about it today. And it's like a bolt-on or an extension of the series we've been looking at, which is grace during the life of Moses. And tonight I want to talk to you about legacy, all about the legacy that we as individuals leave. And as you, as Jane read to us, and as you hopefully read in your Bibles there, we're looking at the end of Moses' life and the beginning of Joshua's life, because I think there are some really interesting things that we can learn and take forward as we look at the topic of legacy. So this question we'll come back to at the end, which is, what is my legacy? And that's something I want you to be asking yourselves as individuals throughout the next 20 minutes. In fact, 17 minutes and 2 seconds. Another way of asking the question, what is my legacy? What is the mark I'm leaving through the choices I am making? Often when we talk about legacy, and the reading was probably unhelpful for this, we think about when someone dies, what their legacy is, what lives on beyond them. And actually, legacy is something that is happening day in, day out for each of us. We are all creating a legacy because we're all making a mark. Through the choices we make, through the decisions we make, we're creating a legacy. Whether they're good decisions or not brilliant decisions, we're making a legacy because we're making our mark. Whether it's on organizations, whether it's on people, we're making our mark. And so I want us to be thinking very personally today, which is, what is my legacy right now, currently, in my day-to-day life? What is the mark that I am making where I am? So, at the end of Deuteronomy 34, the writer of the book of Deuteronomy ends with a couple of verses of high praise for Moses. Here they are, verses 10, 11, and 12. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Really cool thing, a few verses earlier. God buries Moses, and nobody knows where. Amazing. Verse 11, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land? For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Moses had an amazing impact. He shared these wonderful moments with God, where he's up on Mount Sinai and God causes his goodness to go in front of him. When he gets to see the burning bush, when he sees the 10 plagues, the miracles from his hands, when he sees the Red Sea part in front of him and Israel escapes from Egypt, he sees incredible moments. And it can be easy for us to think that it's these moments that are his legacy, that his greatness is because of the moments that he shared. But Moses was incredibly present in the story of Israel. During the 40 years when they were in the desert, there were 2,080 Monday mornings. There were 2,080 Tuesday mornings. I won't carry on. Moses woke up on the Monday mornings in the community, rubbed his sleep from his eyes maybe, shared breakfast with them, collected the manna, collected the quails, looked to see if the cloud had moved so that they were to follow. Moses was incredibly present in the day-to-day life of Israel. He wouldn't have shared these amazing moments with God had he not been in the ordinary day-to-day walk of Israel. His legacy, their trust, and their love of him was not formed because of the moments. It was formed because of his presence with them in the midst of them. Perhaps we desire to have an impact, a positive impact, to help God's kingdom be established more on earth. Well, may I suggest that instead of looking for profound moments, let us look more to where can we walk out the day to day in amongst the place that God has called us. As we faithfully live where God has asked us to be, serving where he's asked us to serve, the moments will come. The book of Exodus doesn't give us a day by day, blow by blow account of Moses' Monday mornings, because a lot of it was normal, quote unquote. I don't know why I said quote unquote. I'm not quoting anything. Neither does it give us a blow by blow account, not Exodus, but the New Testament, of Jesus' Monday mornings, unless something extraordinary happened. But the Monday mornings still were there. One of the things that's been on my mind recently is the desire for people to be a part of a move of God. I'm one of those people. I want to be a part of a move of God. But do I understand that it may mean that there are 2,080 Monday mornings where I'm in amongst the community, in amongst the family, committed to a place, walking out the day by day? Or am I just looking for the extraordinary moments? Am I shopping around for the glory of God? Or am I willing to commit to the day-by-day walk of the community? If we want to leave a legacy, we need to be present. It may be that we could find a community that's been walking for years and enter just at the moment where there's a glorious moment. Maybe, and that's very lucky for us, but you don't share their legacy because they walked the road for a long time. And I want to, in 20 years, be able to look back and say, I was part of this story. I created this legacy with those people around me because I walked the road, because I was committed, because I was here. Now, everything that we share around this is always framed around where is God asking us to be. There would be no point in Tim turning around and going, actually, I'm going to commit here to Christchurch for another 20 years, when the Lord has made it very, very, very clear through some amazing God instances that he's to move to Emmanuel northward. So it's all framed about what is God saying, where is God asking us to be today? But if we have a sense of where he's asking us to be, are you present there? Are you willing to turn up? Not just to be in the room, but to emotionally invest? Or are you a fleeting presence? Whether it is work, or whether it is church, it can be a small group of people anywhere, it could be this church, it could be any church, any form of church. If it's your workplace, whatever it is, if you have a sense that God has called you somewhere, are you present? In your heart, are you present? Because you are called to leave a legacy. And you need to be present if you're going to leave his legacy. Often when we come into a community, and I'm going to talk quite a lot about a church community because that's where I've experienced some of the things I'll be talking about. And we feel this isn't what I signed up for. And we arrive somewhere, we're new on the block, 2.5 years ago I came to Christchurch, new on the block. And you have moments where you think, this is not what I signed up for. When I moved to my previous church, Pip and Jay, down the center of town, there were moments where I thought, this isn't what I signed up for. When Israel was in the desert, they had moments where they said, this isn't what I signed up for. To the extent where they said, let's go back. So they really thought, this isn't what I signed up for. And can I suggest that that emotion is going to happen wherever God calls us? Because he's not calling us to a finished product. He's calling us to contribute to the journey. We must not look for perfect environments where we can come and everything be as we want it to be, because it doesn't exist, and if it does, you won't share the journey, so you won't share the legacy. And it is more value that we enter somewhere where God is calling us before it is perfect to share the journey and create the legacy. There will always be reason to whinge. Always. Wherever you go. Whether your ideal church is HDB or St. Helens Bishopgate or Bethel or blah, blah, blah. I don't know, many churches by the sound of it. Wherever your ideal church is, wherever your ideal workplace is, whatever your ideal community is, whatever your ideal family is, there will always be a reason to whinge, because everyone is on a journey, because God is still moving. He is still working with us and with his people. It takes no faith or vision to be grumpy about things that aren't as you would like them to be. If we want to share the journey and build a legacy, we have to be able to see what God has called us to above all the things that aren't where we would like them to be yet. The second thing I want to talk about is that God keeps moving. So if the first one was the need to be present in order to form a legacy, the second one is that God keeps moving. So Joshua 1 verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's rather blunt, Lord, wouldn't you say, to a grieving nation. Your leader is dead. Someone got a pastoral handbook they could give the Holy Spirit. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. Now, important to remember that in Deuteronomy 34, Israel had 30 days to grieve. And when things come to an end, when seasons come to an end, it is right to have a time where we go, oh, that was good. Man, God, there was so much blessing there. I really enjoyed that part of my life. I enjoyed that time. I'll give you a more concrete example from my life in a minute. There's a season to reminisce and give thanks. But then God moves on because he's on a journey and he's inviting us to contribute to the journey, to the legacy. And he says to the people of Israel, get ready, you're going to cross. If you can work out what that picture is, which you may not be able to. A few years ago, I was in a band. I really enjoyed it. It's called Stokes William. There we are. We've got Ben on the keyboard there, lovely chap. We've got Pip singing on the glockenspiel. I won't go through everyone. And we've got some people watching, which is really very kind of them. They even paid to be there, which honestly remarkable. So we did quite well, but I really enjoyed it. I was playing with some of my best friends, and it got to a point where, at the end of my university degree, I sort of did it part time alongside my degree. One of the main people of the band, a chap called Will, said to us, he said, I'd like to go full time because it's something I'm really passionate about. And the rest of us weren't in a position to be able to go full time. I had a very clear sense that I was called to be in Bristol and work part time at Pip and Jay, my church at the time. And so through a little bit of deliberation, it became abundantly clear that we had to say to Will, you need to be blessed to move on and do your thing. You need to be blessed to go and do music full time. And that means that the rest of us need to just take a step back and say, well, we'll draw a line here and you can go start something new, Will. When things come to an end, it's quite sad and it's quite painful. When we move city, when we move job, when we move church, and God says, I want you to be here, it always involves us letting go of things that have been. One of the reasons that it's incredibly hard to settle into a new church that God has called us to is because we're trying to hold on to all of the relationships that we built where we were. And it actually means that we are unable to prioritize what God is calling us to now. As brutal as it may sound, if we are unable to readjust our diary to prioritize what God is calling us to now, we will not be able to fully enter in and experience the joy and blessing of the new place. If we look back at the story of Israel crossing into the promised land, there are a couple of tribes who, as Moses agreed, are allowed to set up their way of life in the promised, in the wilderness. And they're going to go across the promised land to help Israel fight to subdue the promised land. And then they're going to go back and live there. And if I was in that community, I'd go, I don't want them to stay. I want them to come with us. We've been walking for 40 years with them. I know them really well. They've seen us at our lowest points and our highest points. I don't want them to stay. But they had to let them go. Not cutting off the friendship and forgetting about them, but readjusting their priorities. Because for the 9 or 10 tribes who were in the promised land, God was calling them there. For the tribes who set up camps still in the wilderness, God was calling them there. A friend of mine gave birth a couple of days ago to a son whose name is Gideon Courage. Shabadabadoo, that's a great name. Gideon Courage. And his dad is called Dominic Noble. I mean, seriously, we're going to have to come up with something fantastic if and when. Do you know what I mean? Not as a competition, but I don't know what I've been thinking of, really. Fearless. It doesn't really roll off the tongue or sort of, I don't know. Any ideas? send him my way. But anyway, and when I saw the picture of Gideon Courage, there was this part of me that went, oh, I wish I was with them. I wish I was living alongside them. They live in London. Because he understands me so well. He really gets me. He laughs at most of my jokes, if not just from pity, just because he generally finds me funny. And not everyone understands when I'm joking, largely not even me. So it's really nice when someone does find me funny. And as well as that, he really understands what I'm about. He understands my values. He understands what's important. And I really understand him. We have an extraordinary connection. And I sit there and I think, I wish I was with him. And the reality is that Rebecca and I have had to make a decision with Domino's wife, Becky, that we can't see them lots. Because they're in London. And we're called here. And we have to prioritize here. Obviously, we stay in touch. Obviously, we still talk to them. Obviously, we still love them. But we've grown to an understanding, which is, I cannot maintain the depth of friendship with you that I would like to, because I have to prioritize that thing that God has called me to, which is you, here, to be a part of this community. And we have to rebuild our friendships. We have to start again. We have to be willing to let things go, to prioritize the things of God. If we find ourselves whinging and grumbling about the community that we're in, about the workplace that we're in, the place that we're in, are you prioritizing where God has called you to? Or are you trying to maintain yesterday's season? Are you trying to maintain life under Moses in the wilderness when you should be focusing on how you prioritize the promised land? Because our legacy, the work of Jesus through us, is defined by those decisions that we are making today, here and now. And so I'll leave you with this question, which was the start. It's just the same question reworded. What is my legacy? And I want you to think very presently, here and now. And it's basically, God, where have you called me to? And how do I prioritize that? So we're going to have a little bit of time to reflect, just to exercise our cheek muscles, because I didn't think I smiled much during that, and that's never a good thing. So just remind yourselves what it feels like to smile, and then reflect on these, and we'll just give some space for God to speak to us and see what he says. And then I'll hand back over to Rebecca and Jill to take us from there. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us. Thank you that you are passionately interested in our decisions today, here and now. Thank you that legacy is not something that we are only to think about in the latter years of our life, but we get to think about it every day. That our decisions now are important, that you call us to be a committed people, to be a present people. That you call us to journal and journey the pain of letting go of one season and embracing the new. Thank you, God, that you are on a journey. That every community, every space that you're at work is on a journey. Lord, help us to not look for the product. Help us to look for the journey. Thank you, God, that we get to create legacy together. That we get to share the building of a remarkable story of God. And Holy Spirit, I invite you now to come and speak to us, either remind us of something you've said already through the scriptures, through the worship or a talk, or to say something new. The prerogative's all yours, God. Amen. So we just have a minute or two just to reflect in silence.
visiting us in such a deep way today. I think there's almost just a sense we were just, Rebecca and I were just talking about where do we take this. And a sense that it's such a deep question. And that maybe there are some people here who need more time to reflect on it. And it depends on where you are in your journey at this moment in time. And it is an ongoing journey. It's not a